Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius again. We are going through the book of Philippians, the letters of Apostle Paul to the Philippians. Now we are in chapter 3. And as we have been going through, these are exhortations for believers on how we should conduct ourselves and how to live our life. And we need to take heed to this, because this is the letter to the church, the letter to we believers, that God, through Apostle Paul, has written to us how to conduct ourselves to please the Lord. Now, verse chapter 3 is where I am at, Philippians chapter 3. Take your Bible and read along, and I will stop at some specific verses and expatiate further. Finally, my brethren, now I say finally means now wrapping it up, rejoice in the Lord. And that is a key thing, that is, in everything we have to let ourselves be full of joy, no matter what situation we are in. Say, rejoice in the Lord. Say, to write the same thing to you, to me, indeed it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now, it's good to give some warning. Beware of dogs. He's talking of spiritual dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. These are people that are going to, that are preaching things that will make a conflict in the household of God, or division. But still, say, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, why was he talking about circumcision? Because that was the bone of contention in their days. The Jews that were not believers have been sneaking in and trying to make them to bring in the law of Moses. And one of the first things they were thinking, they said Apostle Paul was preaching that the people should not circumcise their children anymore. And Apostle Paul was trying to say, it's circumcision that Moses wrote, it's not for the Gentiles, number one. Number two, Christ has completed all of those things by his sacrifice on the cross. Everything that they are trying to push. So that's why I say we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He's talking of the flesh, where they think circumcise your flesh. Say, we don't have confidence in the flesh. Fast forward. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, if you are talking of who wants to have confidence, then he was a Pharisee too. He said, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law is a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I am blameless. That's what Apostle Paul was saying. If I'm to tell you my resume, he was telling them his own resume, his qualifications. He said, well, look, all of those things that all of the non-believing Jews are fighting or opposing Apostle Paul about, he said, if they are to say they are this, they are that, look, I was more than them when I was in their midst. But verse 7 is the key. He said, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That is all those things, those accolades, all those qualifications he thought he has as a Pharisee. Say they were nothing when he came to Christ and became a believer. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That is everything that he thought he once had as a Pharisee, opposing and persecuting the Christians, that he thinks, I know better than these people. I am this, I am that he thought he knew, quoting the law of Moses for them. He said they were like nothing, it's like dung, just to know Christ, just to know that God manifested in the flesh and is giving us the grace freely, completely different from what the law of Moses was has put down, which is more like the law of Moses was given to man, to them in those days, to wait for the Messiah who is going to bring the perfection, which they were fighting against when the Messiah came. But after God opened his eyes, he began to see. That's why he said he counted all those things that he thought he had as accolades or his qualifications. He said, count them lost for the knowledge, just throw them away for the knowledge of Christ. Verse 9, and that I may be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he's saying that is how we should think. Our righteousness is not more our righteousness, which is the law of Moses, we do this, we don't do this. It is now the righteousness which is by faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We believe God is one working in us to be able to do all these things. But still say that I may know Christ, that's him. I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That is, knowing what is the purpose Christ came to die is a very important knowledge. That's what he's talking about here. The power of his resurrection. Why he has to die and resurrect, there's a mystery to it. And he came to demonstrate to us, Christ came to demonstrate to us that there will be resurrection. And the power of that resurrection, he said, I will call them up at the last day. That is the supernatural power of God that will call the dead out of their graves. The bones will come back to form themselves. He said, well, does he need those bones? God needed those bones. God, about those that burn themselves to ashes. Doesn't matter. God can bring those ashes back to bones. See, Apostle Paul said that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What is the purpose of all those sufferings? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Christ Jesus. By his right, we were healed. That is the fellowship. When we come into that fellowship, we were healed. Our bodies healed. So he said that I may know all those things, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, verse 11 is key. Apostle Paul is saying that he is actually saying that if I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Apostle Paul is pointing to us here in verse 11 that to qualify for the first resurrection is a qualification. That's what that Bible verse is alluding to in verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12 said, not as though I had already attained, nine either were already perfect, you see, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In short, Apostle Paul is saying, he has not arrived yet. You see, Apostle Paul has not arrived yet. When he was preaching this, he said, he is still pressing on. That's what he's pointing to us in this chapter 3. And that is what our mindset should be. Don't be proud with ego, thinking that you have already arrived because you are now the bishop, or you are now the lay leader, or you are seeing some visions or dreams that make you think, oh, I must be great, that's why God is showing me those dreams. No, don't think you are great. Humble yourself. Bible says, Apostle Paul said, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after. Now, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was going in when he was still on earth, when he was preaching, and somebody came to him and said, maybe that fellow that asked the one of the disciples, he said, will only few be saved? Because he was one of the few. And Jesus Christ answered him, he didn't say you are saved, he said, strive to enter in. You are not, don't think you are saved already, because you are following Christ. He said, will only few of us be saved? He said, strive to enter in. The men will seek to enter, but they will not be able. But you have to strive, it's a struggle. You have to strive to enter in. And Apostle Paul alluded to that same thing here. He said, I follow after. Don't assume that you're already there. Why? Because we are preaching doesn't mean we have already arrived. No. Me that is preaching to you, I've not arrived yet, but we are following after. And the same thing is your mindset should be that don't say you have arrived. You may be better off than some people because you know something they don't know, but you are still following after because you have not arrived yet. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying in verse 12. If that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That is, God has called us. That's what apprehend means. He has arrested us or called us. And we are now in his hand and he's using us and he's calling us to come and get something. That's why he called us. Now that he has called to come and get something, we are to pray ourselves through that we get that thing that he called us for. So that's what Apostle Paul is saying, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. God called us to come and get something, but we must struggle to get it. We must aspire to get it. Think of it, if somebody in a place where they are doing a competition and they call people that come and participate in this competition, and when you participate in, maybe it's a 100 meter run, everybody go to run 100 meters, but what is the purpose of running this 100 meters? You are going to get this trophy if you win. Also, you get this gold medal if you win. So that is your goal, but you are called. Everybody is invited, but some people, because of their qualification, they have been brought into this field to come and participate in this 100 meter run. So Apostle Paul is saying, yeah, God Christ has apprehended me right now. I'm one of them that are running, but I'm now shooting to make sure that I get that trophy. That's why he said, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. So we are all apprehended of Christ right now. He has called all of us to come on in and come and get this thing. Now we are to strive to get that thing that he said you should come and get. So it's not over just because you are part of the people that are running to get it, but doesn't mean you are going to get it. So make sure you keep pressing on. Let me say that again. Because you are one of the people that are participating to go get that trophy, doesn't mean you will get the trophy. You're just one of the people that are participating. So then participate to the end so that you can get the trophy. Everyone that endure to the end shall get something. You have to remember that. Everyone that endure to the end shall get something. But you have to endure to the end, participate to the end to get your own trophy. Remember that. That's what Apostle Paul is saying, that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That is the mindset you want us to have right there. Don't count yourself as if you have already got it. Oh, you are already in heaven. You can have that faith, just living by faith is good, but let your mind be still be humble that, Lord, I'm still pressing on. Lord, I'm still pressing on because I've not reached the height yet that I ought to reach. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. He said, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, that is whatever he has done and passed, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. That is, forget the past now, whether your mistakes or your accomplishment, forget them. There's still more accomplishment to accomplish in the future that you need to press on for. It's almost like going there. Somebody went through grade school, primary school, and you finish your primary six or grade six. That's not the end of education. Now you go to the next level, middle school. And then you graduate from that. Well, you have to go to the next level, high school, and seek another struggle. But you are growing. You are growing. But you are in another class, another group. And you are now growing to get another degree. And you pass a high school diploma, you praise God. That's not the end of it. You have to press on. You go to the next level. So that is really what the race for Christ also is. So don't think you have gotten all until you get to his feet in the end. At the feet of Christ, that's when you can say, it is done. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That is, there's still more glory ahead. There's still more things to accomplish. There's still more trophies to win. Apostle Paul, verse 14 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. High calling. That is, God is calling you higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. That's what it means by high calling of God. It's a prize for it. It's a prize that you get to that higher position. You get one prize, but it's not the end. Come up higher. If you get to the next higher level, you get another prize. Verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, anyone that wants to be perfect, be false-minded. Let's set your own mindset like that too, like Apostle Paul is teaching us here. Don't say you have arrived. Don't think you have arrived. Don't give up. Don't even relax. Don't be relenting. Don't rest until you get to the highest of high. And the Bible said, until you get to the feet of Christ, don't think you have got it yet. No. Keep striving on. So that's what it says in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus-minded. And if in anything you be otherwise-minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That is, if you are not minded like this, God will reveal to you if you humble yourself. God will reveal to you what you should be pressing on for. Verse 16. Nevertheless, we have already attained, no matter what level we have attained right now, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So whatever level you are right now, keep pressing on for the higher heights. Is what he's saying. Let us mind the same thing. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. So he's teaching us how he operates, how he walks, how he sets his mind, so that we should also set our mind like that. And then he said, mark them which walks so as ye have us for an example. Those that are following our example, they mark them and example, emulating them. He said, verse 15 says, there are some people that are not walking like as we have shown example. For many walk of whom I have told you of, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, And whose glory is in their shame. You see, some people, all they are looking for is money for their belly. They may even be precious. He said their God is their belly. They are trying to make themselves rich and amassing money for themselves. He said their God is their belly. He said they mind earthly things. That's verse 19. Verse 20 said, but our conversation is in heaven. That is, what is our goal? Our goal is to please the Father that is in heaven. So we are heaven bound. Mindset is to be heaven bound. Forget about what you are gathering upon the earth. Some people are making, what do you call it, they are building empires for themselves. Some people are building empires for themselves or not. That is, they are ministry, they are preaching, they are building churches, they are building schools, they are building, what do you call it, mega churches, mega buildings. It look like empires. They are building hospitals and schools to make themselves names for their ministry. It becomes almost like they are not really serving Christ. They look like they are serving their belly. That's what Apostle Paul says. Some people are serving their belly, how much money they are making. That's serving your belly. You see, they mind earthly things. Say, but our conversation should be in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So that should be our goal. Our goal in the Christian race is that we want to arrive at that fullness of the stature of Christ. Christ can manifest right now in a blinding light. And that should be our final state when we are changed from glory unto the image of the Son of God. Now that should be our goal. We are to press on to enter into that light of God. And that takes dedication, living for Him, following His steps, walking in humility, fasting and praying also often. And those are all the things that matters to God, not how large your crowd is, not how much money you are making, not how large is the building you build, or the people say, well, their ministry is expanding if they have 20,000 people in their church. It's not the crowd that matters, but make sure that the people that gather, they are being built up to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. In all humility, in all gentleness, in all kindness, and in all love, divine love. And Apostle Paul is telling us all this, that our conversation should be in heaven. We should be heaven bound, is what he's saying. Heaven bound. Want to please heaven. Want to please the Father. He said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that should be our goal. Press on for the next, into the next height, to the next height. Now we're going to go to chapter 4 of Philippians. Let's continue. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now Apostle Paul is now giving some exhortation here in the last chapter. Stand fast in the Lord. Now he's going to begin to tell some individual believers among them to work together. Verse 2 says, I beseech Eudaeus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, those could have been two believers that he heard that they were always having confrontation one with another, or they have conflict with one another, and he's telling them to have the same mind in the Lord. That some people have reported those believers to Apostle Paul. So that's why he said, I beseech them to have the same mind in the Lord. But still he said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. It's more like exhorting the brethren that help the women that are laboring with us in the gospel. No matter what these sisters will do, sometimes they help in setting up things, they help in encouraging believers, or say they wash the saints' feet. That's more or less providing for them. Say, help them in all the things they do. And God, he said, some of them, he doesn't know their name, but their names are in the book of life. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's a general exhortation to every one of us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You see, there are some times when you feel melancholy or you are feeling down because of your current situation, but say rejoice in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you know how to use that joy, and when the devil is casting you down, just begin to praise God, and that joy will come back to your heart, and the devil will run away. The devil does not expect you to rejoice when he's beating you down. When you do the opposite of what the devil expects from you, the devil will run off because he's a loser. He expects you to go and cover yourself and be shaking and say you are feeling cold, you are feeling sick. But when you say no, the devil is not going to win, and you get out and go and be doing exactly what you say, I've been paid for, I pray for myself, I am well, and you begin to do opposite what the devil expects. The devil have to take his sickness and run off. You have to counteract whatever the devil is throwing at you. That's how the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's how we overcome some of the things the devil throws. That's why I'm repeating that back. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What is moderation? Even in your dressing, let your moderation be known to all men. In your acquiring things, let your moderation be made known to all men. Don't try to be the one that is flamboyant. Everybody wants to see me. Everybody sees me. That is not moderation. Moderation, why? Because we are not here to say that we have not. You see, here have we no continuing city. We seek one to come. We are to live as pilgrims upon earth. If you are a pilgrim, you can't go and buy everything that is in the store because you have no way to carry it. No, so because you know you are just passing by. So we are to live like pilgrims on earth. Then you let your moderation be known unto all men. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. That says, don't have anxiety over many things that can make people even sick. Anxiety can make people sick. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's a very, very important verse, that don't let anything bother your heart. Cast all the burdens upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, pray about it. Supplication is when you plead more. With thanksgiving, now thank him that he has heard you, that thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Christ said, when you desire anything, you pray about it, then you believe you receive them, and then you have it, then you have to thank God if you believe you receive them. Go and read that, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. The precept God has given to us how to pray. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So use that as a prayer for yourself, that the peace of God shall keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, verse 8. Finally, brethren, he's summarizing it again. Whatsoever things are true, this is what we should think about now. He's telling us what we should set our mind on thinking about, so that evil thoughts does not creep into our mind. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is, what do you want to be exercising your mind on? Don't think of bad thoughts. Don't think of evil thoughts, because the devil throw evil thoughts into people, and through thoughts, people go and implement those thoughts. But you don't want any evil thought to come into you at all. Shut it down. This is how you judge. This is the yardstick you use for judging any thought that's coming to you. Is that thing true? Is it pure? Is it just? Is it honest? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? If it's not any of those things, don't even think about it. Shut it down. And that is what he said we should use. I'll use that as a barometer for deciding what should I think about. Whatever you want to think about, is it something that is true? It's something like somebody come and tell you, he whisper something and say, you know something happened? Is that something true? Even if it's true, is it honest? Or is it just, is it of law? Is it of good report? Should I even be broadcasting it to anybody else? So those are the things which you use to judge what you want to think about. If there be any virtue or anything of praise, that's what you should be thinking about. Anything that is of virtue and of praise to God, that's what you can think about. Otherwise, shut it down. Verse 9 says, those things which you have heard, you have learned and received and heard of me, do, and God of peace shall be with you. So he's saying, be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lack opportunity. Now he's talking about these Philippians are the ones that normally send him donations and offering, and that's what he's talking about in these next verses. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Apostle Paul is giving us an example that he knows how to be content. Contentment is, the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So Apostle Paul is giving us an example that he know. Verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That is, he's not going to let any situation rattle him. If he is having plenty, he praises God. When he is in need of funding, he lacks something, he didn't cry and moan. He just rejoiced and manage. That's what it means by I know how to abound. And I know how to abase. He knows how to manage when things are not plenty. He knows how to control his expenses, not to overspend when there are plenty. That is very important in life also. When there's abundance, know how to manage it. Otherwise, people will waste abundance. In the days of Joseph in Egypt, when they have abundance, he said, abundance, it's going to be 7 years of plenty. If they don't manage it right, they will waste it. Just think about that. When there are so much corn, so much rice, so much wheat, people eat it and throw many things away. But when there's famine and there's not enough, they now begin to suffer. But the wisdom God gave Joseph in Egypt was that when you have plenty, what do you do? Save some, save it, store it away. Because the days of famine is coming when there will be not enough. And that is how the cycle of life has been in the world. And Apostle Paul is giving us the same example that he knows how to abase and know how to abound. You individually also, you conduct your life that know how to abound. When you have plenty, don't waste it. When you have little, don't cry. Just manage it. Know how to abase, know how to abound. It's teaching or something. Verse 13, say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That is, know how to do all things through Christ also. That is, Christ is instructing us. Verse 14 now, he said, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now he's saying that the Philippians are the ones that know send him donation. That's why he's saying they communicate with his affliction. But even though he was in prison, when they collected some donation, they still sent some money to Apostle Paul. That's what he was referring to there in verse 14. Verse 15 is now explaining that, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So it's now praising them that all the churches that he founded, only the Philippians were sending him money. That's what he's saying, eh? Only them. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So he's saying, what they are sending is like a fruit, and it will be to their praise and to their account before the Lord. The other churches that are not sending to him, God noted that also. But he said that God is going to be blessing them abundantly by they sending donation to him. And that is what we should also learn. Like we are doing right now, we are sending this gospel on radio from our own fund. Not that some churches are contributing this to us. It's from the money God gave to us as employee of some engineering place. We are using our own money to do this. That's how God allowed it. And then those that recognize that and they are supporting us, those that recognize that and are supporting us, they are also participating in the ministry that we are doing. And God will know that God also will be blessing them specially. But those who think, well, they don't care, then God also will not care when they need some financial help. So Apostle Paul is saying it is for their own account, whatever they are giving out to him. Verse 18 says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. The Epaphroditus was the one that brought the donation to them, to Apostle Paul, from them. The thing which was sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Now he's going to give them some blessing in verse 19. See, people always quote this Bible verse, they never remember what Apostle Paul said that these people are sending to him. Say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is blessing to those who are giving in donations. So people always quote this Bible verse, the one that supply of your need, but they are not doing the part where he said, you Philippians are the one that are sending me donations. So this blessing is for the Philippians that send him donations. So if you are sending donations to a ministry and they quoted it, then God will supply your need also because you are supporting the work of the Lord. Verse 20 said, verse 19 again, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they of Jesus' household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So he's saying that even when he was in prison, he's already converted some people that are now in Jesus' household. So he's saying they also have disciples said that they are also believers now, and they are in Jesus' household, they are also sending you greetings. This is the end of the book of Philippians. I believe that the Lord has taught you that there are many things we have pointed out that you can learn. In giving, you are giving to the Lord, and God noted it. Those who are not giving to His gospel, God noted them also. But see, the blessing that my God shall supply your needs for those is to those that are giving to the Lord, that are good to the work of the Lord. And that's why many people, they like to quote that, they are doing the things of the Lord. But the Lord will give to you as you give to Him. God bless you.